We hear the Word of God today, given to us in Romans chapter 4, reading verses 4 and 5. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. If you have spent any time at all working a part-time job and certainly a full-time job, then you understand Romans 4, verse 4. You have experienced the merit system firsthand. At your place of employment, for example, you work so many hours doing the job you were hired to do, and your employer owes you a certain amount of wages that you could calculate using a rather simple formula. When the paycheck comes, it is not a gift to you. You have earned the money. Now, this merit system works in other areas of your life, such as school, where you earn your grades and other types of achievement. What about this venue right here? Our encounter with God at the focal point of His Word. Our status with God, how He deals with us and we with Him. Does the merit system apply? Our sinful nature actually wants to say, yeah, it does. Which makes it a rather vicious cycle. On the one hand, our flesh only wants to sin, fight God for everything, go contrary to His will, but on the other hand, dangerously assume that we can make up for it, make amends, work off those black marks against us. For you and me, this cycle, this problem doesn't simply go away when we become believers in Christ. No, it becomes the type of thing where, and you can for yourselves tell me rhetorically if this is your experience. As you learn more and more from the Bible, what kind of thinking you're supposed to have as followers of Christ. What kind of behavior you're expected to avoid and also do as His children. As you learn more about that, you then discover more sins that you're doing that you didn't realize before. You understand better your pride or your negligence or something else. That's part of the cycle. That's part of the issue. You have to realize that God has laid out a very definite path for our growth as Christians along these lines. Becoming more Christ-like in what we do. And that's not a suggestion. Being more compassionate to each other and more fearless in our witness to the world. But you know, honesty compels you to admit you and I have failed again. And thus we have sinned again. We are still not worthy. Really, we should take this one step further. If you look into the mirror of God's law and do more than glance at the image, if you scrutinize every black mark in that image reflected back to you, about you, it's not a nice picture that we see. Our text has one word for it. It's a strong word. It's an accurate word. It's the word ungodly. Now here's the thing. If you agree with that assessment, if you agree that it's true that you are ungodly, then you're ready for verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. It is the system of grace, not merit, that will apply to our faith encounter with God. This is no arbitrary thing, by the way. God does not pretend that our sins did not happen or that they don't matter. Oh, they matter. They have greatly offended His perfect sense of holiness, and they require His form of justice, which is so unique, so unheard of in this world. God has taken all of our ungodliness and put it on Jesus, who accepted all the blame and then paid for it all so that it counts as our own payment, as though we paid for it all. And then, when God is ready to hand down His verdict, He looks at Jesus and He says to me, you, the ungodly person, you're not guilty. You're completely righteous, sinless in every category. This heavenly truth established by Christ does not depend on how we live or even on whether we believe. That's right. As the text puts it, God justifies the ungodly. And that makes it certain. Now, don't get me wrong. Your believing is necessary. It does matter. And thankfully, it has something solid to grab hold of. God offers the full forgiveness of all your sins up front. And then by faith, you receive that as your own. Not like a working person's hand picking up a paycheck. No, rather like the hand that simply receives and claims a gift. And even that faith was given to you by God. So, this objectively true, upfront fact of your forgiveness in Christ, your justification because of Christ, His righteousness as yours, that will be the certainty of God's love and acceptance at all times, your assurance of eternal life freely given, as well as this open door through which God is there answering your prayers, giving you what you need, including a real power and incentive to follow whatever His Word tells us and to do so with blessing. For your own sake, please, don't take this lightly. Don't get tired of the gospel of Christ crucified, as it once again will get the spotlight during the season of Lent. Rather, let's make it our daily anthem, our number one value on the list of things valuable. Yes, the most treasured gift from God, who keeps giving His best to us through His Son, our Savior. Amen. Our worship closes today with hymn 155, the first three stanzas. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 155.